Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We're talking about sonship. How many know it's easy to, you know, doctrinally we get all kinds of different teachings, and we have to understand we got to put them together because they all go together. The things that come from the mind of the Lord, they don't contradict each other, right? It's only the stuff that comes out of the mind of man that contradicts itself. So, how many of the Holy Spirit's not confused? Right. Ephesians chapter 5. It says in verse 15, actually, let's just go Ephesians chapter 13. I'm sorry. There is no chapter 13. Verse 13. Let's try that. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light." Everybody say the light.
Light.
Now we're going to find out today the light is not what so many folks think it is. I know I get your attention there. All things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Everybody say the light.
Light.
For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, "Awake, sleeper." Poke your neighbor and say, "Wake up."
Wake up.
"And arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men." I'm just going to throw this in here. This is the translation according to Dan. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as stupid men." Or as Paul called the Galatians, morons. We don't want to walk as morons. But we want to be wise, making the most of our time because the days are evil. So then, verse 17, "Do not be foolish." See? I was close.
Yep.
"But understand what the will of the Lord is." Everybody say, "I want to understand what the will of the Lord is." "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And in the Greek New Testament, that's an ongoing constant present tense. Be being filled. Be being filled. Now, a lot of folks, I know when I was coming into the faith, you know, I thought being filled with the Spirit meant, you know, you got a glass and you fill it up. But that's not what this is talking about. Being filled with the Spirit is not a static container and you are either all the way filled, half filled, three quarters filled, or not filled. That's not what this word filled means. This word filled, literally you could say, be controlled by, influenced by. It really is the picture if you turn on a hose from a water supply, what happens? Well, if you have water, water comes out the other end and it's on full force. That hose is filled with the water. In fact, if you have a any kind of nozzle on this. I don't know if you all experienced this when you were little, but when I was younger, I would turn the hose on, and we had this little sprayer thing on the end of it, and I didn't realize that if I turned it on too much, it would start whipping it around like a snake. You ever tried to catch one of those things when it's whipping around? I got hit in the face a few times. That hose was filled with the water. It was under the influence. And so really what we're speaking of here is we're speaking of when we're talking about understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's being filled constantly, being influenced constantly by the Spirit of God. See, this is the life of a son. We're talking about sonship, and ladies, you understand by now, we're dealing, you might as well just translate it in your mind, daughters. Your sons and your daughters, we call sonship. There's a certain environment. Let's say it this way. There's a certain authentic environment that sons and daughters live in and experience and perpetuate. Do you understand that? There's a certain authentic environment that is associated with being a son or a daughter, not an orphan or a slave. So this verse is saying we need to understand what the will of the Lord is, to be being constantly under the influence of the Spirit of God. I told you last week, one of these days I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a shirt saying I'm out of my mind. Because really, you don't want to be living in your mind. Otherwise, you're going to be a miserable Christian. And you're going to be making everybody else miserable. Because how many know hurt people hurt people? Yeah. Most of the time. And so, if we're going to be Christians and live out of our heads, then guess where your emotions are? In your head. So we want to make sure we're always influenced by our spirit, living out of our spirit. Because your spirit is the real you. If you've been here any length of time, you know we've taught on this number of times. And frankly, I'll be honest with you, it's the thing I was missing when I was raised in church. Church people never talked about you being a spirit. They never once mentioned it to me. They never once taught us how to live out of our spirit. They never really once taught us that we were, our spirit was what was born again, made new. A new species never existed before. It's no wonder the world has this mindset that when you get Jesus, you just got religion. And you learn how to think different, and you learn how to, you can't talk this way, and you can't think this way, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. But it's all about outward external control. Which means the church has done a bad job of communicating and demonstrating what the new model and what the gospel, the core of the gospel really is. We read about it some weeks back. The reason the gospel is preached is to show a natural man that he's merely a natural man and he actually has access to a nature upgrade so that he can become alive in his spirit and live from there. In the presence of him, the Father, completely blameless and with a clear conscience. Jesus did that for the human race. That is the gospel, and that is why the gospel is to be preached. Anything else came out of the mind of a man, and it's merely just trying to make sense of something that's already there. We just need to get revelation from the Spirit of God about it. Right? So understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to be being constantly filled with the Spirit. Now, go over to 1 John. 1 John. How many know John was a son? He walked as a son. He talked as a son. He spoke about an environment that surrounded a son. How many know when John is speaking of here in John, 1 John chapter 1, did I say 1 John or John? 1 John chapter 1, when he says what was from the beginning or what has been from the beginning, what we've heard and what we've seen in the past with the existing results that we're still hearing and seeing those things. I want you guys to understand that that's really what these verses are saying. from the Greek. It's something that they experienced in the past, and he's still experiencing it. The environment didn't change, contrary to theological thought. The environment did not change when Jesus went to be with Daddy. The environment was the same when he was with Jesus, when he was in the earth. And how many know at that point he wasn't walking as a son? He was walking as a servant. It wasn't until Jesus was raised from the dead that all of those men and women that had the environment of walking with a son, being Jesus, at that point he was the only begotten son. He's not the only begotten son anymore. Right? I said right? We ought not sing songs about the only begotten son, because Hebrews 2:10 says that the reason that Jesus was willing to come and do what he did, live in the earth, go to the cross, pay the lien against the entire human race, and then be raised up from the dead, was so that he could bring many sons into glory. So there is no only begotten son anymore. Got it? Okay. I was in a service one time, we were singing about the only begotten son, and the Spirit of God said, that's not true. Well, I never thought about it. What do you mean it's not? Oh my gosh, it's not. But we got an autopilot, you know, So, John here in 1 John is speaking about an environment that he experienced when Jesus was in the earth. He said, I want to tell you, we've heard it, and we've seen it, and we're still hearing and seeing the exact same things. With our eyes, we've completely looked at and touched the capital W, Word of Life, speaking of Jesus. But he also goes on to say that the life was manifested. Folks, if we don't accomplish anything else, or I should say this, if I don't accomplish anything else in my lifetime, I am going to accomplish seeing a changed environment in the body of Christ as far as that which is authentic, that's supposed to surround us as sons and daughters. Because we've had hundreds and hundreds of years of theological doctrinal training that have trained a human being that maybe is a new creation even. But they've been trained that the environment that surrounds that new creation man is only this. There's no supernatural, there's no this, there's no that. He doesn't do this anymore. He's not this way. That's not the way he is anymore. It all went away. That's not the authentic environment that follows a son. John is speaking here of the authentic environment that follows and surrounds a son. Doesn't it strike you as odd that when you get human beings they lived in darkness, they got a revelation by the Spirit of God that Jesus really is who he says he is, and they declare it with their mouth, and he brings them over into the kingdom of life. He puts his Holy Spirit in them. And then when they get into an environment where the presence of God is extremely strong, they freak out and run away. Doesn't that strike you as kind of odd? You know why? Because that bad babysitter did that to them. He trained them to not be comfortable in his own skin. As the new man, we're supposed to be comfortable in his skin. You don't have any skin anymore. You don't exist. When he died, you died. I want that to become more than just a theological idea. It's got to become a reality. For us to completely function at 100% sonship, that has to become a reality. Dead people don't get embarrassed. Dead people don't care about what somebody says about them. Dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't get affected by somebody else acting stupid. Right? They're dead. So when Paul repeatedly says, when Christ died, we died, that should be saying more to you than just having a theological idea of identity. He didn't just give us verses so we could have an idea of a certain doctrine that we learned. It all has to pan out into 2 feet on the ground, right? Everything that Jesus did for humanity was not supposed to stay in the theological idea realm. It was supposed to sift on down to walking your own two legs out in the street realm. So John is speaking of an environment here of, this is what a son, the authentic environment. Everybody say the authentic environment. I may use that term a number of times from now until whenever. Because we got to change the way we think. There's an authentic environment that surrounds you as a new man, and there's one that's not. We've become comfortable with the one that's not, and don't expect the one that is. I'll tweet it later. I mean, how many of you guys follow me on Twitter anyway? I mean, no, never mind. I got enough on Sunday. I don't need anything on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We've become comfortable with that which is not the authentic environment of a son, to the place where we're uncomfortable with the one that is. John's speaking about the authentic environment of a son. He says, the life was manifested. We've seen it in the past and we're still seeing it. And this is what I'm constantly testifying and proclaiming to you. He calls that environment eternal life, which was with the Father and was completely manifested to us. Verse 3, he says, we have seen it and heard it, and we're still seeing and hearing it. So we're proclaiming it to you on an ongoing, constant basis, so that you may be having, along with us, on an ongoing, constant basis, fellowship with the Father and fellowship with His Son. So the purpose of these writings that John is writing here is he's trying to train up people in the body of Christ to recognize and not be uncomfortable with that which is supposed to be the authentic environment of a son. And then on top of that, don't let somebody else who's completely unfamiliar with that environment tell you that you're standing in the wrong place. That's really the motive why he's doing these things and he's writing these things. It really is amazing, because if you keep on reading here, he says in verse 5, this is the message that we've heard. I love this too. Because what it really says is, it's not something in the past. It's, this is the message that we've heard in the past, to the extent that we're still hearing the same message. And this is what we're announcing to you on an ongoing, constant basis. We are announcing this message that we heard in the past and we're still hearing, that God is light. Remember Ephesians said to walk in the light. The light exposes. Well, we need to figure out what that light is, because it's been interpreted to be things that it's not. And by the light, it's not the lightsaber. Because so many times the light gets whipped out and it ends up, you got somebody laying in pieces on the floor. And we call it the light. So we need to understand, we need to know what the light is. Right? So he said, we've heard this in the past to the extent we're still hearing it, and we're announcing it to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And then he goes into the next few verses, he goes into a series of hypothetical situations, because he's trying to make a point about God being light and there being no darkness in Him. because this is the message that we heard, not just from Jesus, but we're still hearing it. So he's trying to give them this. You need to recognize what that environment looks like, so that A, you're not deceived and no one talks you out of where you're standing. Because this is the authentic environment of a son. And he goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we are lying and we're not practicing the truth. Now this is the foundation of everything he's getting ready to say, because if really means whenever. Or if this statement is ever made, that you're having fellowship with him and yet you're walking in darkness, you're not practicing the truth. And then in verse 7 he says, because if whenever we're walking in the light, as he himself is the light or in the light, we are having fellowship with him. One another means him. He talked about the Father and the Son, right? That's the fellowship we're talking about here. You can tell where people live because they always translate things into be horizontal, because the natural is more real to us. So we translate all these scriptures. We translate the scriptures that Jesus said, you know, that they'd be one as we're one. We translate them one with each other. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about being one with Father. The context is Jesus and Daddy's relationship, and Jesus is saying, I want them to have the same relationship, connection like we do, so that they're one with you like I'm one with you. The horizontal oneness will happen if we're one with him. That's really what he brings out in his letter, if we call 1 John. But our first motive and our first responsibility is to walk in the light as he's in the light. Okay, so he says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We're having fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So what does that verse say? When we're walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with him. And what's the result of that? The blood of Jesus is cleansing us, ongoing, constant, from all, what? Sin. So now the next verse says, this is the way it's read. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So then they use that verse to say, you can never say you have no sin. Because if you do, you're deceiving yourself. Isn't that what you've heard? What did the previous verse just say? But if we're walking in the light as he's in the light, the blood is cleansing us and separates us from any sin. So then how can you spit on that and go straight to the next verse and say, but don't ever say you have no sin? When he just said, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, you have fellowship with him. And if you have fellowship with him, you got no fellowship with sin. Can you see why this verse does not mean what everybody says it means? We got to read our Bibles, guys. Because if this verse that says, don't ever say you have no sin, if that's what it meant, then he might as well go on to say, don't ever say you can walk in the light, because you can't. Because if you walk in the light, you have fellowship with him, because he is the light, and the blood of Jesus separates you, eradicates you from any sin. So at that point, you could say, I have no sin. Right? Are you guys with me? You see how dumb religion has made things? On top of that, we'll come back here, but just skip forward to chapter 2, verse 1. John said all those things, and then he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Well, John, how dumb can you get and still breathe? If you just got done telling him that don't ever say you have no sin, because if you are, you're deceiving yourself. Then why would you waste your time telling them these things so that they don't sin, because it's impossible for them not to sin, because we can't ever say we have no sin? Are y'all here? So he's not saying these things, because the context is simply, let me tell you what the message that I'm hearing, I've heard it and I'm still hearing it, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. You say, why does this even matter? It matters a lot, guys, because if you cannot see yourself sin free as Jesus sees you, you will never step into the fullness of your sonship, ever. And if you don't step into the fullness of your sonship, someone else will not experience the fullness of Jesus the way they're supposed to. Because it won't flow through you. He will not flow through you. Not because of him, because of you. Because your mind's too cluttered with the thought process of man. What he's saying here is, in him is no darkness at all. We're having fellowship with him. Now, if John is saying, we're having fellowship with him, and I'm telling you these things so that you can have fellowship with him, then John is living in a place where sin's not on his thought process. He would say, I have no sin. Why? Because he's walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. Because this is the fellowship that we're having, and the reason I'm telling you these things is so that you can have the same fellowship as we're having. So really what he's saying here is if the subject comes up and someone says, I have no sin, but they're walking in darkness, then you need to understand, don't get confused, but understand that they're not practicing the truth. Because in him there is no darkness at all. Okay? And then you go, and you know, of course we know 1 John 1:9, he says, you know, if you're in that situation and you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and completely cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now even that verse completely contradicts the thought process that somebody has tried to lay on verse 8. Because if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, my gosh, if you put the period on it, at that moment, you can say, I've got no sin. But then he's saying, you can't say you have no sin. You see how it's just, religion is dumb. So the context is not that. The context is, if someone says, I have no sin, and they're walking in darkness, they're not practicing the truth. Recognize it. Peg it. Now, if they confess their sin, he's faithful and just to completely forgive them of their sin and cleanse them from all, eradicate all unrighteousness. In other words, and even the thought processes, guys, some of y'all need to do this. The thought processes that tag along after the fact and weigh you down, even though you were in the presence of him and you came to him and said, Father, I missed it, forgive me. But you, when you get up, you still got that stupid red wagon behind you. And you forgot that part of the promise of 1 John 1:9 was he wants to sever you from all unrighteousness, all the residue that tries to set up shop in your thought process and try to nail you later. Our understanding as sons, the reality of sonship is when you begin to say the same thing as him, he eradicates any connection of that error with you forever. So when you get up and come out of that place, you should never remember it ever again. And if darkness tries to bring it up, you can just tell them, shut your mouth. I don't know what you're talking about. Just really freak it out. I don't understand what you're saying. You must be talking about somebody else. Because see, darkness can't understand this. The demonic realm is not that smart. they don't understand this. So if you are walking in the reality of a son and you walk in the reality of this, it drives them nuts because they got nothing. Well, what do you mean? I was there. I saw you. I don't know what you're talking about. That was somebody else. Wasn't me. Let's ask Daddy. Was that me? No, I didn't think so. So then he goes on to say, the same person who says, because you got two options. You can either confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin, or you can go the other way if you're the guy that's walking in darkness and trying to sell it as fellowship. We get a lot of that nowadays. We got a lot of folks walking in darkness and they're trying to sell it as they're in fellowship with him. And this is really what John's dealing with. He says, look, you guys, you need to understand, you need to recognize, this is what fellowship looks like, that's what no fellowship looks like. This is fellowship, not fellowship. Fellowship, not fellowship. Got it? So anybody that's walking over in the not fellowship and saying they're in fellowship, they're not even practicing the truth. Because again, this is fellowship, this is not fellowship. Light, darkness. Got it? Oh my gosh. Darkness, light. Okay? Alright. So, you can either, verse 9, you can either confess your sin. If you're that person, you can either confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and eradicate all traces of unrighteousness. Or, if you want to continue to walk in your own head, and you can say, I have not sinned in the past, nor am I sinning now. Then what you're doing is you are on an ongoing, constant path of making him a liar, and his word is not in you. He's just trying to get us to understand, this is the right environment, this is not. So you're going to hear all kinds of stuff from all kinds of folks trying to tell you what 1 John says. And if they tell you that he said no one can say they're without sin, they're walking in their own head. Or they could be walking in seminary. Because that's where those ideas come from. But John is speaking from the environment of a son. And that's why at the chapter 2 he says, I'm telling you these things so that you will not sin. If anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then he goes on to say, the environment of a son, in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, by this, everybody say by this.
By this.
By this we know that we have come to know him. By this, it could be worded like this. This is really what the Greek New Testament says. Because remember, we're not talking about a static anything. We're never talking about just a theological idea. We're talking about an ongoing, constant connection. John doesn't talk doctrine. He talks an ongoing, constant connection that is life manifested. That's the authentic environment of a son. Okay? He says, by this we are knowing constantly. How many would like to know constantly? That we have come to know him on an ongoing, constant basis. If we keep his commandments. Now, it's an interesting phrase, the word by this. He says this like 6 times in this one letter. By this, and he tells you. By this, he tells you. By this, he tells you. See, he's teaching you what the authentic environment of a son is. By this you'll know this. By this you'll know this. By this you'll know this. In fact, here he's saying, by this we're knowing. We're constantly knowing that we've come to know him on a constant basis. The word if there is whenever. Whenever we're keeping, guarding, watching over. Or you could say it like this. whenever you see the word keep, keep my commandments, whenever you see the word keep, I want you to see a helicopter landing on the pad. Because really, when Jesus talked about this and when John says these things, he's really talking about when you give love its landing place. When you let it land. That's really what that word means. When you allow Him, because later on in the letter he says God is love, right? So we have to read that into everything he's saying here. When we allow His love that comes from Him through His Spirit into us, and then we allow that to have its designated landing place, that's keeping His commandments. Because His commandments are those things He speaks to you. John chapter 12, write this verse down. John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. Go over there and read that. Jesus said He called His Father's commandments that which He says to Him. So you got to translate the word with the word. Yes. Right? Not by a religion thought process. In fact, let's just do that. Let's go over real quick. Hold your place here and go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look at verse 49. Verse 49 says this in John 12, "For I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." What's the commandment? What are you speaking? Verse 50. "I know His commandment is eternal life. Therefore the things I speak just as the Father has told me." So whenever Jesus talked about keeping His commandments, or John talks about keeping His commandments, the word keep means to guard, watch over, or literally let them see to it that they hit their designated landing spot. Can you understand that? I know I'm teaching against hundreds of years of religious thought process that means you live by the print, you execute the print, you die by the print. But that's not what he's saying at all. He's literally saying everything that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, didn't Jesus say this? Man is to live by every word that's spoken out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Right? The only reason that we've translated commandments as print is because somebody told you he stopped talking. And he hasn't stopped talking. Otherwise, this generation is screwed because we can't live out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God because he's not talking anymore. So, go back to 1 John. By this we are knowing that we've come to know Him whenever we're keeping His commandments. We're giving His words that He's speaking to us. We're allowing them to land in their designated target. Every time we do that, it's reinforcing the fact that we know Him. We know Him. We know Him. I know Him. I know Him. Because the result of that is always something that's manifested. Because didn't John say the authentic environment of a son is life manifested? Are you all here today?
Yes.
So this phrase, by this. Here he says, by this we're knowing that we have come to know in the past to the extent that now we're still knowing that whenever we keep His commandments. In another place, in chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, he says, by this, we're knowing on an ongoing, constant basis that we're in Him. That's present tense, constant. And the one who is abiding in Him on an ongoing, constant basis, out of necessity, this is literally what the idea is in chapter 2, verse 6. By this, we're knowing constantly that we are constantly in Him, the one who is abiding in him constantly is ought himself to walk, or out of necessity will walk in the same manner. Now your translation says, as he walked. Everybody say walked.
Walk.
What does that sound like? Past tense? But that's not what that word is. That word, as he walked, is not in the aorist tense, which is a completed act in the past. It's not even in the perfect tense. It's in the present tense, which means he's walking right now. So it goes in line with what John is saying. The authentic environment of a son is we're walking in the light as he is walking in the light right now, even as I'm speaking. Can you see how we really have done ourselves a disservice, or really religion thought process really has done us a disservice by telling us that you're really not connected to him. He's just somebody you're supposed to believe in. And then you need to act right, live right, talk right, so that when this whole thing is over with, maybe he'll be proud of you. When that's just a stinking religious environment, that's not the authentic environment of a son, because the authentic environment of a son is you're always connected, and the way you always know you're connected is because you're always, all those downloads of the Spirit of God that love is giving you, you always let them have their landing spot, and every time you let them have their landing spot, life manifests, and that life manifests completely continues to reinforce the fact that you're knowing him. So we ought not to be unfamiliar with living in his skin if we learned that this was the environment we're supposed to be living in. Are y'all here?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, by this we're knowing on a constant basis, look, the one who's abiding in him out of necessity will have established a life walk that walks in the same manner as he's walking even right now. There's a simultaneousness to that statement. And then he goes on another place. This is interesting. How many have heard this one? 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. So what do we do trying to interpret these verses out of our natural heads? We run around and we come in contact with demons. Say it. Say Jesus came in the flesh. Say it. Say it. Come on, say it. Jesus came in the flesh. Say it. You didn't say it. That's not what he's saying here. You know what he's actually saying here? It's more of a slap against demonic forces. Because how many know demons lie? Yeah, okay. Yep, he came in the flesh.
He's dead now, though.
Because this verse is not saying that. This verse is saying, by this you'll know on an ongoing, constant basis, it's present tense reality. This is how you're going to recognize the Spirit of God. Because every spirit that is not constantly confessing, now listen to this, that Jesus Christ has come in the past to the effect that he still is in the flesh, is from God. Well, there ain't no demon in hell that's going to say he's still in the flesh, because if he was still in the flesh, that means A, he's alive, and B, he's a man, and C, I got no authority. That's what he's saying here. Every spirit that is, know the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is always going to declare that yes, Jesus came in the flesh, but he still is in the flesh right now. That's why he just got done saying those that walk in the light, by necessity, they need to stay in step with him, because he's walking in the light right now. He ain't walking in a bag of bones. He's in a flesh, right? Does Jesus have an earth suit?
Yep.
He doesn't have any blood, but he's got an earth suit and bones, right? He's walking in his resurrection body, but he is a man. There's a man at the right hand of Father. Darkness will never admit that. Because they're never going to admit he's alive. Because the power of the gospel and the communication of the gospel, whenever we allow love to have its landing speed, is it reinforces the fact that Jesus is alive right now, even as I'm talking to you. In fact, while I'm speaking these words that he gave me, you're experiencing him right now. That's the gospel. That's the authentic environment of a son. So it says, by this the Spirit of God confesses that Jesus Christ has in the past, and to the effect that he now still is in the flesh, is from God. Chapter 4, verse 9. By this the love of God, and we'll stop with this one. By this the love of God was manifested completely in us. Everybody say, in me.
Amen.
That God has sent in the past, to the effect that he's still sending his son into the world, so that he might, that we might, what? Live for him. Is that what it says? Yep, says it. That we might live through him. Do you understand what living through him means? It doesn't mean living for him. It means, because if you're living for him, you're still alive. But if you're living through him, you're not alive. He is. You're simply transferring what he's giving you. It's important you understand that, folks, because if we don't understand that, which most people don't, then we end up being too alive, screwing up the message, and we turn the light into a lightsaber. Because we didn't realize that we're not supposed to be in the picture. The reason why the love of God was manifest in us, God sent his son into the world so that we might live through him. When Jesus came into the earth, he lived through the Father. The words that I'm speaking not on my own initiative, because then I'd be living for him. I speak what I hear my Father saying. I'm living through him. He's speaking through me. The words that I'm speaking are his words. Do you understand the difference? It's very important that we understand. Because what? Because this is the authentic environment of a son. This is living through him, not for him. Verse 12 says this, no one has seen God in the past, to the effect that they're not seeing God now, at any time. Whenever we are loving one another on an ongoing, constant basis, God is abiding in you, and his love is perfected in you. What does that word perfected mean? In other words, again, you're letting his love hit its landing place. There's a lot more I want to get into, but for the sake of time, I won't today. But we laid a good foundation for next week. Because, folks, it's important that you understand what the authentic environment of a son is, so that you don't get sucked in. Because I'm telling you right now, if you step away from this, you'll just go straight back to what you knew. Because there is no neutral. You're either going forward or you're falling back into what you know. Because it's familiar. It takes an effort in rest to live and retrain how we function in this authentic environment of a son. And next week I'm going to show you all these verses. I'm going to show you all the verses. I know I said last week I was going to show them to you this week, but it's coming. I'm going to show you all the verses that will show you that the reason why Romans 5:5, that God put his love in you, was not just so you can run around and love people. Most of the time you're just living out of your own head anyway. But the reason he put his love in you is because that love is a perpetuating force that keeps everything of darkness out. And you'll be shocked if you start seeing these verses and you start looking at the environment that we see that most Christians live in, how it's diametrically opposite. And the reason is because they've not realized and understood that we live through him, not for him. In fact, one translation says, 1 Corinthians 13, that the symptom of not walking in his love is having to prove your love. We got a whole boatload of that junk going on. You know why? Because we're not walking in his love, we're walking in our own. So I'm going to show you these verses next week, and I hope it just rocks your world. Because I'm telling you, in order for us to enjoy the authentic environment of a son completely, you've got to learn how to live under the influence. Because his love is not sheepish, his love is not regretful, his love is not shy, his love is not reserved, his love is not, I don't want to talk to anybody, his love is none of that. It's full on, all the time, 100% influence. Because all that other mess is only there because of something else. Right? So I'm going to show you all these verses. Let's stand. I want to pray this over you. I would recommend that you begin to pray Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to the end of the chapter over your life every day, over your wife, over your kids, over everybody that's associated with you. And then also Ephesians chapter 3, I think it's verse 16 forward. So Ephesians 1, 15 to the end of the chapter, and Ephesians 3, I think it's verse 16 or 17 forward. Paul prayed that over the church at Ephesus, which was the largest known church of that time in the world. It was 100,000 people. Can you imagine the Best Life Church being 100,000 people? Thank you. But I want to pray this over you from a particular translation. And I want you to receive it, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Father, we love you and we praise you. You mind if I throw myself in there with you? And I pray that our understanding, that we'll understand beyond all comparison the magnitude of your mighty power towards us who are believing. That it's the same dynamic energy that you unleashed in Christ when you raised him from the dead. And you forever established him in the power of his own right, in the power of his own right hand in the realm of the heavens. Infinitely above all the combined forces of rule, authority, dominion, or governments. You ranked him superior to any name that could ever be given to anyone in this age or any age still to come. I pray that we would see that you subjected all of these powers under his feet, under our feet, and that he towers a head and shoulders above everything, that he's the head, and that we, his ecclesia, his called out ones, were his body, and with the completeness of his being that fills all in all and that resides in us. And that you cannot make yourself more visible or exhibit yourself more accurately than in him and in us in his fullness. We just thank you for that, Lord. We We thank you that as we study and learn about sonship, that you're showing us our original, authentic identity in you. Not that it would become another idea or another doctrine we learn, because that just makes you want to spit us up. But that it would become a reality in the way we work and live and move and have our being. And in, as a result of that, your heart's desire for this church and its influence in this city will be realized. Because we realize that there is no other greater influence or manifestation of who you are than but we thank you, Lord, because we're studying these things, because the Holy Spirit, the teacher, is on the inside of us. That those things are going to be realized. Everybody say this with me. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I declare to you that your heart's desire for this church in this city will be realized through me. That the manifestation of me as a son in sonship, I'll let it be seen. You can live in me, and thank you for letting me live through you. You believe that? Father, you heard it. Our yes is yes and our no is no. And we thank you for it, Lord. For that which you have in your heart, you've not called us to do it on our own. You've called us to do it through you. And your Holy Spirit is always in us. So thank you for the revelation that's flowing from heaven about who we are as sons and daughters. But thank you, more importantly, that it doesn't stop there. We're learning to love, to manifest everywhere we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a blessed week, as you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.